Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, house. How are you guys today? We have an opportunity today to enter in this time of praise and right? Enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving, right? Just like in Solomon's day, remember when they made an end of the offering, and it was pretty cool. The fire came down, right? I mean, I'm looking forward to some fire. Amen. So, anyway, we have that opportunity today. I think we ought to take advantage of it. Amen? Yeah. Okay. So if y'all would stand up and join me, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for this time of togetherness, this opportunity, Father, that we have to enter in. Father, we thank You that You might be in our midst, that, Father, Your will be done, Father. We thank You for this time. We thank You for this day. And, Father, we lift up those who are hurting. Father, we lift up the people in California for these fires, Father, that You would have Your way, Your will. Father, we thank You for that. And, Father, for this, for tomorrow, for this inauguration, Father, we ask, Father, for Your guidance, Your direction. Yes. Father, we need Your help. Yes. Yes. Thank You. We thank You, Father, that Your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 You know, we're meant to be focused on the kingdom, right? Not on this world, not on the things happening around us, but on kingdom things. See, God gives us things. He'll speak to us. He'll give us a word. He'll give us things for our own life. He'll give us things for the people around us, right? But we're meant to be focused on just the kingdom. See, we can't just depend that people are always going to do what we want them to do or act the way we want them to act. But the one thing we can depend on is that God is always who He says He is. And every promise and everything that He's given us is ours. And it is the truth, right? See, it doesn't matter what all is happening in the world or how crazy things get. God has a reason for everything. So when things come up, whether it's in the world or specifically in our lives or what we're seeing, we gotta know that the one place we focus on is the kingdom and who He is and what He's doing and what He's going to do, not just what we see. See, this song, I like it. It's a declaration of what He's promised, right? By Your stripes, I am healed. In the storm, Your peace. The peace that passes all understanding, right? The Bible talks about it. See, and it is so. See, it's a confidence that we take in our walk with Him, right? The ability to say that regardless of what I'm going through, even if I think that it's not great, you have told me it's great all the time. I don't know. I feel like the last few Sundays, He's very specifically, like, the things He's given me, I kind of feel a little bit of a broken record, but I feel like He's really talking to somebody when He's saying, don't focus on the things around you, but focus on Me. See, it's the whole church, right? We all got to remember to do it, because we can be walking along really good, doing our thing, right? When everything's good. But the second something happens, we tend to let it veer us off course. Whether it's because we feel like that didn't go the way I wanted it to, or it's that person didn't speak to me right, or even sometimes just feeling like my whole life is falling apart. See, it doesn't matter how big or little the circumstance in your life. If you let it veer you off course, then no matter what, you've taken your eyes off the one thing that matters through it all. See, God's got every answer. He's got everything that you need. He's got the comfort. He's got... Oh, see, that's the thing, right? Ooh, I can feel this. It's not about what you have to do. See, sometimes in the waiting, it's about the comfort that He provides in teaching you something as you go. See, but when we're so focused and worried about something else and we begin to let that be our focus, we're no longer focusing on the one who's trying to give us something. See, and then it's where we begin to think that what we're going through is a negative instead of a positive. But see, he's told us it's all positive. It's all positive. See, the moments where you're struggling or where you feel that little veer is the moment you should press in even harder. See, God is building up His church, and he's trying to teach us, stop paying attention to everything else. Stop letting your feelings get in the way. Stop letting your mind take over and run away from you. And just realize that if you allow Him to do every single thing in your life, if you allow Him to move, you allow Him to speak and be the one to give you direction, allow Him to be the one to tell you when to open your mouth and when not to open your mouth, allow Him to be the one to direct you in every single thing, you'll begin to see that you show more of who He is than who you are. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be, a reflection of the Father. Church, this is where we become more effective to everybody around us, is when we are focusing on Him. Sports. And one of the things I'm constantly telling these kids is practice, 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 practice. Because the more you do it, the more confident you'll be when you go into a game situation. And that's all God's doing with us, with our prep time, right? And with our prayer time. It's our prep time. See, He's working on us. He's filling us. He's giving us things, and He's getting us ready, because when He speaks, we'll be confident in moving in what He has for us. See, let's build up the confidence in Him. Get to know who He is by spending time, by going after Him and hearing the things He has for you.
So, yesterday, I was at a service for my grandmother, a celebration of her life, and we were at her church, and it's a church that I was actually, like, baptized at, like, many years ago when I was a little kid. But we walk in, and I saw these chairs out, and they still had these little, like, boxes, these little shelves that my grandpa had built. And he passed away in 2000. And it was like holds a communion cup and their hymnals. And it was just amazing to go back and see that. But then to hear the pastor talk about my grandparents and their contributions to the church. And, you know, it just made me think You know, that's something that I want to strive for, is that maybe even if my presence isn't there, that there's this lasting fruit of what I did for God that stays behind. And this is in John 15:16, and this is where Jesus was talking to his disciples about how he was the vine and everybody else was the branches. And it says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." So first of all, think about that. If you're a believer, he chose you first. Because there's a lot of power behind that. Knowing that it just wasn't your choice, it was God choosing you. He thought, "You, I need you. I want you in my kingdom." But then it goes on to say, it says, "I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." You see, as long as you're working for God, everything you do is going to be lasting. Just like when I walked into that church, just a little thing, like seeing those boxes. I remember when I was a little kid watching my grandpa make. I went in there and I saw those. You know, they made an impact on that church. And, you know, that's why I come in here and, like, youth group, it could be like one kid for the day. But I'm going to give everything to that one kid because there's going to be a lasting fruit that will be produced because I decided that God put me in a position to do something. He gifted me to do something. And I went ahead and I did that action. And he's going to make sure that it's not going to be wasted. It's for a reason. So don't think whatever you do is insignificant or small. Don't think that you don't have the talents or the gifts because you do. And just know that you need to follow whatever Jesus has for you. And he's going to be just like my grandparents. For you, he's going to leave something behind so that wherever you go, that fruit that you produce there is going to last. It's going to make an impact on this world for his kingdom.
Here I am again. I didn't expect to get up here. But what I'm wanting to tell people, what I'm wanting to share, can you hear me? Is this on? Okay. Okay. I won't go into my personal stuff, but some things have happened, and something happened a couple weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit, if anybody is ever wondering if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he does. I've really been learning to hear his voice, to understand what he's saying. I asked the Holy Spirit to visit someone as I was walking. I asked the Holy Spirit to visit my brother. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'm still learning to hear his voice, okay? I'm still learning, trying to discern, is the voice me, or is the voice the Holy Spirit? But how I knew it was the Holy Spirit was the incredible outpouring of his peace. The outpouring of peace that came when I said, "Would you please visit my brother? Please visit my brother. Please." And the Holy Spirit said, "I already have." Then I asked for the Lord to give me a confirmation of peace again over my brother. He gave me a peace over my brother. So don't ever stop praying for your family members. Don't ever doubt that God can't move even in the last moments of someone's life. No one knows as a friend has said to me many times, we do not know who is going to heaven and who isn't. We do not know. The Holy Spirit is the only one that knows. God is the only one that knows. We just have to trust God and keep praying for our loved ones, regardless of what you see, regardless of what's going on, regardless of whatever that person has said. Just keep praying for your families. Pray for your families to be saved. God hears our prayers, and I know He heard my prayer. Because how do I know? Because there's just such a peace that is beyond understanding. Now, I have had my struggles, yes, because when you are grieving, you have your struggles. And you have your feelings are there and whatever. But still, the Holy Spirit has given me a peace, and I'm walking in a peace. And I'm going to share that peace with the rest of my family. So thank you. Just don't give up on your family, regardless of where they are. God will save them, and I believe that.
Wherever I go, your hand will guide me and your strength will empower me. Yesterday at men's breakfast, we were talking about the presence of the Lord and the goodness of who He is, regardless of whether we have been good or deserving. I feel like sometimes there is circumstances that will happen that try to capture you with shame, or with I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve this or that, whether that's good or bad. And there were some things over the past few maybe weeks or months that for me have been discouraging. But the scripture is David reassuring himself about the goodness of who God is. And last week, my brother Aaron here said something in encouragement that was, the Lord will never leave you and the Lord will never forsake you. And this scripture is a picture, because that's how they wrote, is picture words. And the picture that was revealed that I saw in this scripture, and another version says, wherever you go, your hand will guide me and your right hand will empower me. This one says, wherever I go, your hand will guide me and your strength will empower me. Yeah. And the picture that I had, I'm gonna just use Henry here. The Lord comes, and we think that the Lord leads us and He's far away. That's a picture I think we've been given. He leads us and we follow Him. He's not really paying attention. But what He's doing when He leads us, His hand will guide us.
Come on.
And His right hand will strengthen us.
He's right there with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's in front. He's beside. He's behind. He's encouraging.
Hallelujah.
He encourages. He pours out encouragement. Sometimes He uses us to encourage. And sometimes He encourages. I was talking to Jonathan the other day because of the fires. I texted him and I was like, hey, man, are you okay? What's going on over there? And he's like, hey, he texts me. He goes, hey, call your most holiest friends and see if they're still here and haven't been raptured. And I laughed. I was like, well, what about you? What about your dad? And something rose up. And I texted him back. I'm going to go ahead and just read what I texted him, because It was just one of those things that it just begins to flow. Oops. But before I find it, I just want to say, you know, a lot of times we are waiting on Him to do something for us or for someone else. So just keep that in mind. So I said, hey, bro, I miss you. And after it was, this is after he said, hey, call one of your holiest friends, see if we were left behind. So I said, hey, if we miss the rapture, that's not so bad. What? I said, Noah missed it and was perfect in his generation. And he walked and he talked with Abba. Abraham redeemed the curse and took in the name, or Abram redeemed the curse and took in the name Abraham, and had faith to enter into an unknown cursed land and redeem it. Moses endured cataclysmic end time plagues and walked a blessed people into a journey to a promised land that took them longer to prepare for than to travel to. Joshua and Caleb entered the land and trusted to be blessed in a previously cursed land and were nourished by what flows rather than what fell. I was talking to Jonathan, but I'm talking to you. You are an ambassador in the city of angels to reclaim authority of the heavenly hosts that were assigned to break the damned curse and let provision and glory and light and love flow. All creation. Now, here's when I said, hey, we're waiting on God, right? What does the word say? The word says that all creation is anticipating and eagerly awaiting for the sons and the daughters to rise up. And all the cosmos and all creation is eagerly anticipating the arrival of the sons. You, brother, arise, shine, for your light has come. Amen. All creation is waiting for you.
It's the whole time Tommy was talking, because of the power in his words, right? And the way he speaks. It's like that. Have you heard that Godfidence, right? Like, that's what kept, like, popping in my mind, because we were just talking about confidence. It comes in knowing who He is. See, He knows who He is, and God flows through, right? And it makes you powerful. It gives you a confidence. It really does. Knowing who He is and what He has for you.
It's amazing how God puts all the scriptures together. We were praying this morning, and scripture after scripture, it was about God creating a clean heart in us, and that's the message today. And it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. We are the light of the world. And like Tommy was saying, and right before he said it, arise and shine. Let us get out there, be bold for the Lord in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Oh.
Can I get everybody to stand up, please? Hallelujah. Let's sing this part right here where it says, by his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. How many believe that? That's what he's spoken. He's spoken it into the earth through a prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. And he came and he did it. You know, sometimes somebody had asked me one time, is Jesus an ideology? I don't know. I can't even say the word. Are you an idealist? And I go, no. I'm a realist. Amen. Well, how can you say that? So with all the religions in the world, only one, the words became flesh and dwelt among us. Now that's reality. It's not just talk. Amen? It's not just talk. It's real. Hallelujah. And when he says, by stripes, healed. Sing it. So, come on, hallelujah.
By your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so.
Oh, do you know it's so? Do you know it's so? Put your hand on your heart and sing it again.
By your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole.
By your touch, I'm made whole. Jehovah Rophe. Jehovah Rophe. But it's actually Jehovah Rafika. Because Jehovah Rophe is the God that heals. But Jehovah Rophika is the God that heals and keeps on healing and keeps on healing and keeps restoring. Can you say amen? Your body has an amazing component that it will heal itself. Can you say amen to that? Because of the way the Lord designed it. He designed for healing to flow within you. So put your hand on your heart and sing it again. And sing it with a confidence.
By your stripes, I am healed.
Come on, sing it loud.
With one touch, I am made whole.
Yes, Lord.
You have spoken.
Yes, Lord.
I know that it is.
Come on, sing it so he can hear it. Sing it so he can hear it.
By your stripes,
yes, Lord.
I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know.
Body of Christ, Lord. Just as the children of Israel, as they left Egypt, not one was feeble among them, God. No sickness, no disease causing feebleness, Father. Thank you for what you've done for us, Father. Through the cross of your dear Son, by the blood of the Lamb. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. If you love him, give him a mighty applause, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo,
Hallelujah. You can sit down if you can. Hallelujah. The glory. Oh, rise up, oh man of God. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for my sons. My Jonathan, Oscar, Davin, Tommy, Noah, Josh, Zach, Abe. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Thank God for my sons, man. Yeah, Hector, you too, bro. Come on, man. Oh, boy. Hallelujah, man. Glory to God. Ooh, I feel the presence of God in the house this morning. Come, you guys brought him in. Come on. Hallelujah. Empty house without y'all. Amen. Come on. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Make me clean. That's the title of the message this morning. Make me clean. Can you say amen? Ooh, how many want to be clean? Yeah. Come on, man. How many don't like it when you get those thoughts? You know, I don't want to go there. How many don't like that? Man, can I tell you that sometimes, I don't know how to say this, except that I realize that I'm supposed to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit speaks to my spirit. How many know you should have two spirits within you? Is that right? Should have the Holy Spirit and then your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. And then your spirit, you, should speak to your mind. Don't think that. Shut up. Is that okay? Yes. Shut up. Don't think that. No. No, I don't think so. Tell your mind to shut up. Is that what you want? That you know you shouldn't have? Hey, tell your mind to shut up. No, you don't want that. But then we have this other part about we've got mind or will. It doesn't say emotions in the scriptures. Is that right, Tom, Terry? No, the word emotions isn't in there, but it's a natural feeling that you get. It's feelings. Can you say amen?
Yep.
A lot of times. And that is the biggest crybaby of our life. Can you say that? Your emotions. Yeah, well, your emotions will get a hold of you and make you turn your will to where your spirit's saying, but no, we're not supposed. And it, you folks, can I tell you, we have to get a hold of our soul. The Bible says that your soul is in your hand. Can you say amen to that? It's what the scripture says. Your soul is in your hand. What does that mean? Well, you have the authority, the God-given authority. Is that right?
Yes.
You have been given the God-given authority to say no, to say stop. Hallelujah. And so today's just kind of one of those messages where I believe God is saying, hey, talk to them. Let's talk, because I have the same. Don't think that I am getting messages that God is saying to me too. Can you say amen to that? I mean, we all have something we need to deal with. Can you say amen?
Yeah,
amen. Listen. It almost seems kind of crazy, but you know, God has perfected you forever in Christ. Do you know that? How many say that? How many say yeah? Okay. How many know that you're perfect? Raise your hand if you know you're perfect. Come on. You should know that. You should know this. Because how many of you know that you died and Christ dwells in you? So that which is dwelling within you is perfect. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's kind of an odd thing to say, you know, isn't it? Feels weird to put your hand up, huh? Whoever's perfect in the house, put your hand up. Come on, man. Feels kind of weird, don't it? Oh, yeah. No. Why is that?
Jesus died.
Because we know, hey, I still got stuff that I need to work on. How many say amen? It happens. That's just the way it is. But God has said something to us. He says, look, I have... I'm not going to try to get you to find this scripture because I just... I don't know, Lord. I don't know where it's at. Hold on. No. I'm going to see if I can find the scripture. And I even can't even say it. All I know is this, I'm hearing it. And no. Hold on. I think. I'm sorry. Decided to upgrade my Bible because my other one's kind of fat and ugly and old looking. Can't find nothing in this Bible. it's just not there. This is what he said. The scripture, this is actually Galatians 3, verse 22. I'm going to tell you what, I love it when God interrupts. Can you say amen? I love interruptions, divine interruptions. I love it. And sometimes it might make me look like an idiot up here, and that's okay. Can you say amen? Go ahead. Look that way. Yeah, you know. But I have realized that God has said something to us that we really need to get a hold of, that we have been perfected in Christ. And it's not so that you can go around telling everybody that you're perfect in Christ. You can help them explain. You can help explain to them why you see that the scriptures are telling that you have been perfected. Hebrews 10 will tell you a lot about it. But in Galatians chapter 3, and this is verse 22, it says, the scripture has concluded all under sin. Let me say amen to that. Oh, everybody. Hallelujah. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It might read like that it's faith believing in Christ, but it's really something different. It is by faith of, have you got it up? Yeah, oh, great. Thank you, Liz. Spot on, man. The scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Christ. Do you see that? It's not really your faith. It's his faith. By faith of Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you see that? It's him dwelling in you. It's his faith that's working in you if you will believe it. Isn't that crazy? It's his faith working in you. This is why faith in Christ is so powerful to us if we'll just believe it. Just believe it. See, the faith that God gave you, see, the Bible teaches us that every man is given a portion of faith, right? Every person. That faith is what gets you to Christ. It's what brings you to Jesus. You hear about Jesus died for my sins. You say, man, I'm a scoundrel. Is that right? How many said that to yourself? Anybody? No? Nobody? Well, I did. I said, I'm a scoundrel and I need a savior. And it was that faith in Christ that brought me to Christ. Is that okay? Is that okay, Steve? Is that okay? It's that faith that brought me to Christ. But the Bible says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. So everything that you have, even that little bit of faith, died at the cross. So that now the faith that he gives you, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? See, it's not you, it's him in you. Can you say amen to that? We got to get this. Because this is the faith that really moves. Is that right? That calms the sea. that calms the problems, that speaks life. That's, hey, this is the kind of faith that feeds everybody a double-double in a crowd. Can you say amen to that? You didn't get it, did you? The double, I mean, you know what? Jesus fed them fish and bread. I'll go for double-doubles. Yeah. Y'all hungry?
Yeah.
See, that kind of faith, that's the faith that's dwelling in you. And we hold back. Can I tell you something? We hold back so much. We don't realize sometimes the things that we're doing. He gave you a brand new faith to operate in. He gave you a brand new love to operate in him. Romans 5 says this, that the love of God is poured in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He gave you a brand new joy. Is that right? It's not your joy. It's the joy of the Lord. That's your strength, not your joy. It belongs to him. That's why you can call on him, and that fountain of joy can rise up at any time. Can you say amen to that? It will rise up at any moment, any time. You're just drinking at the fountain. God, I need a drink right now, God. Can you give me a drink, God, from your fountain? Hallelujah. See, it's not your joy. It's his joy. And the Bible says a joy set because of things set before him, he had joy.
Amen.
Even at the cross. Yeah, it's not your peace. It's his peace. And the peace of God shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? See, you're a new creature, and you don't even realize, some of you don't even realize it. You don't even get it, that he has made you new, and he's given you all these new things. Can you say, look at your neighbor, say thang.
Thang.
Yeah, say it like a real Texan. Any Texans in here? No. I used to like DC talk, a new thang. I used to say, anybody? I don't know. Anyway, it's a long time ago. But it says it right here in this scripture. It says, the scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Christ might be given to them that believe. The faith of Christ. That faith of Christ is given to you. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely, praise God. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to say some kind of word like astounding. Is that a right word? No, that's not even a good, that's not even a word, huh? That's in tongues. Whatever that is. Yeah, come on, bro. Come on, Tommy. You see, one of the things that we got to realize that we gave our hearts to the Lord, but there's a cleaning that has to happen.
Yes.
It's just like Hezekiah cleaning the temple. He went in and yeah, maybe okay. They fixed the doors and everything. They got it nice and clean. The aisle going in looks clean, but what about all those closets? There's a bunch of closets in that temple. And they'd open them up, and they'd find all these idols that these priests were worshiping. Had them stashed in the temple. You got any idols stashed in your temple? Yeah. This is what God's talking about, cleaning. Attitudes and things that we shouldn't be walking in. Fears that we shouldn't be walking in. Unforgiveness we should not be walking in, no matter what. I don't care what kind of excuse you give me for it. I'm going to tell you, it's not yours. You died. And the love of God has been poured into your life by the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about, unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is not a kingdom thing. It's outside the kingdom. Whoo, come on, man. Folks, we've been called to a high life. Can you say? And it's not by Miller beer. It is a high life, a higher life. Come on, can you say amen to that? Whoo. He wants us clean. Okay, I'm going to. I don't know. Can we go to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15? Hallelujah. Me and my new Bible here. Mark chapter 1. We'll start at verse 14, go through. Father, I just thank you for your word, God. And God, I ask, Father, show us all something brand new today, Lord. Things that we haven't seen before. Father, we know that everyone is in a different place, Lord. Those, Father God, that need a word, that are in a low spot, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would give them a mighty word. Pull them up, bring them out, Father. Father, those that are in a medium place, Father, they're not sad, they're not happy. Father, those people, Father, I pray that you'd give them a good word today, Father. Asking you, Father, Holy Spirit, to give them a good word. Medium is never a good place to be. Lukewarmness, Father, never a good place. And Father, for those that are walking on mountaintops today, can you hear me? Say amen. Father, those that are walking on mountaintops today, and God, and because of the revelation and the things you've brought to them, Father, thank you for those things. But Father God, bring in some more. Bring in some more, Father God. Light the fires, Father, of your people, Lord. Let fire devour any kind of adversary dwelling within us, Father. Thank you for it, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise God. Starting at verse 14, the Word of God says this. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was he preaching? The gospel. The gospel. He wasn't preaching a denomination. He wasn't preaching a religion. He was preaching the kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe that Jesus came and died for you and washed all your sins away. Amen? Amen. Repent and believe. Some people say that repenting is just doing a 180-degree turn. But I will tell you, it's do anything you can to get away. Yes. Walk away. Can you say amen to that? Don't think about it. Don't look back at it. Just walk away from those old habits. Can you say amen? Repent. And believe the gospel. Believe the things that you're seeing. Believe the things that you read. Believe what he's saying to you. Believe the things that you're hearing after you've checked them. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that God gives us a spirit of God so that we can try the spirit to see if they're of God? We can look at something and say, okay, right now that. Or we can hear something and say, no. See, Job said it this way. Maybe it was Elihu. But he said, the ear tries words like the tongue tastes meat. How many ever put something bad in your mouth? Anybody ever done that? Probably everybody has, huh? Put something in your mouth and what happens? Do you swallow it to get rid of it? No way. I don't care who's around. This thing's spitting. I'm spitting it out. Praise God. Hey, and see, this is the same thing that the ear should do. Anything that's contrary, push it out. Not even going to think about it. But you have to test the spirits to see if they're God. How do you test the spirit? Take it to the Word. Amen? Yeah. And then what? You just ask God. Yes. Plain, simple, God, is that true? Is that right? And God will show you if you ask. Can you say amen to that? He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Hallelujah. Jesus was preaching the gospel. Man, I love just listening to that. What was he preaching? The gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom. It was good news. It wasn't just good news. It was good news of the kingdom of God and what God is doing. The time has come. It's fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers, fishermen. And Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Mark just took a shortcut, didn't he? Didn't talk about the fish. Didn't talk about where Jesus said, hey, let me stand in your boat, push away from the shore, and let me stand in your boat so I can preach to this crowd on the side. He didn't talk about telling Peter to push out from the deep a little bit and then let down his net. And Peter telling him, man, okay, we've fished all night, caught nothing, but at your command, I'll do it. And he does it, and it fills up the boat. Mark took a shortcut, amen?
Amen.
Maybe he forgot. I don't know. There's reasons. But I love to hear the stories. How many love the stories of Jesus? Man, I'll tell you what. I got to have a story of Jesus at least 12 times a week. Once a day? I don't know. I love the stories of Jesus. Well, Mark kind of took a little bit of shortcut. And then he says this. They all left and followed him. And when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their dad, their father Zebedee, in the ship and with the hired servants and went after him. And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. What do you think he was teaching? The gospel of the kingdom. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as a scribe. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out. Come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this, and what new doctrine is this? For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." You see, Jesus does everything with authority. Is that right? Everything. He does everything with authority. Can you say amen? I mean, he can't do it any other way. Whatever he does, it's with authority. Amen? And immediately his fame spread about throughout all the region of Galilee, round about of Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and anon they tell him of her. King James, I love it. Don't you just love it? And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And can I just say this to you? Christ dwells in you.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, we just think that we got to walk up, Lord, you know, God, would you just touch my brother? Would you just remove everything that's going on in his life that's contrary to you, Father? You know, it's not what he did to Simon Peter's mom, is it? He just walked in and said, "Hey, man." You know, he just got her up and the fever left. See, that's authority. Can you say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
That is a mindset. Yep. It's a mindset that he walked in with, that he walked with. It's a mindset, and that mindset has been given to you. How many of you know the Bible says that you have been given the mind of Christ? Is that right?
Amen.
But so, folks, you might not want to hear this, but we're double-minded. Amen. We really are.
Yeah.
But we got to quit being that way. Amen. You've been given the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ. Man, people,
well, I saw Pastor Henry. I wasn't feeling good, but he didn't even pray for me. I wonder sometimes if he even knows how to pray.
Praise God. It's okay. We have a mindset that says, hey, I have authority that's been given to me by Christ. And I can walk in and I can just put my hand on my grandson, my granddaughter, and God's doing something. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what, believe it. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe?
Yes. Yes.
Do you really? Do you believe? Mm. And he came and took her. Oh, I'm sorry. Read that. Verse 32. It says, at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of different diseases and cast out many devils and allowed not the devils to speak because they knew him. Come on, man. It's pretty bad when a demon recognizes him more than we do. Can you say amen to that? There are... Oh, no, I better just stay off of that. But folks, it was... He caused a... No, it wasn't a small stir in that city. He caused... Man, people were coming, man. Hey, this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, don't know much about him. But man, he's laying hands on folks and they're getting healed. People with demons, the demons seem to be fleeing. Let's go. Let's go. Do you want to go? Yeah, let's get down there, man. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, this house should be full because of what Christ can do.
Yes.
Should be full, brimming full. Every church in the city should be full to the brim because of who we serve.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Do you believe?
Yes.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Folks, this is a habit of Christ. This is a habit that Jesus did every morning. He went to talk to Dad. Amen? He went to talk to his father. Abba, Father. What's on the agenda today? What can I do for you, Father, today? What's your will for me today, Father? Hallelujah. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said to him, hey, all men are looking for you, man. Everybody wants you. They're calling you. And he said to them, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also. Therefore, I came for. This is why I came, so I can preach the gospel of this kingdom. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down unto him and saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was what? Cleansed. And straightway, he straightway charged him and forthwith sent him away and said to him, see that you say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out and began to publish it. Did you not listen? Huh? He went out and he began to publish it much and to blaze about the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the circle. Was without in desert places, and they came to him from every corner. I just want to look at the part where the leper came to him, and he told him, he says, if you will, you can make me whole. Is that right? Is that what he said? You make me clean? If you will, you can make me clean. What did the lepers used to have to say? In the city, if there was people around, they had to cover their mouths. Their mouths were already covered, but they had to cover that, put their hand over it, and then cry out, unclean, right?
Yeah.
That was what they had to do, unclean. They had to make sure people knew that he was around and that they better not get close to him. But he saw Jesus, he went over and he begged him, he said, kneeling down, he said, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. You know, how many of you know you're not supposed to touch a leper? Come on, Jesus, don't touch him. And he put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And this is a scripture that the Lord gave me to talk about this. Because it says that Jesus had compassion on him. There had to be a overwhelming desire that Jesus, man, the compassion went flowing out. Can you say amen to that? Because there's nothing hidden, no hidden agenda in it. It's all, I want to be clean. I want to get rid of this. And Jesus, having compassion on him, said, man, I will be clean. How many of you want to see God? How many, I mean, the Word of God says that the pure in heart will see God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pure in heart. Ooh, listen, look at your neighbor and say, pure in heart.
Pure in heart.
Pure in heart. Pure in heart. Ooh, oh God, I want my heart clean. Can you say amen? Yeah. I want to clean me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Call upon him. Say, Lord, clean me. David said it. Glory to God. Clean me up, Lord.
Yes.
Did I ask you how many of you like showering? Taking a bath? Hey, let me just ask you. How many of you take a bath? Anybody? A few? Five or six? How many don't take a bath? I'm just kidding. No, the other question. There's only like eight of us that take baths. I'm just kidding. I mean, a tub bath, I should say. How many like tub baths? Anybody like tub baths? Yeah, I was raised in a tub bath. My mom, that's all they had. She didn't have a shower. So we had tub baths. And once I didn't want to get in. But once I got in, I didn't want to get out.
Yes.
By the time I got out, I looked like a prune. So, Brother Henry, you look like a prune now. Yeah, I know, I'm just kidding. But I tell you what, it wasn't too later on that we got showers. And, man, I love the shower.
Yeah.
I love taking showers. I will tell you, on the weekend, let's see, how many showers do I take? Let's see, one, two. Well, I take five showers on the weekend. Let's see. Friday night, that's one. Saturday morning, that's two. Saturday night, that's three. Sunday morning, I take four. Yeah, well, that's the weekend. Four showers. I like showers. I like refreshing. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I love to be refreshed. Can you say amen?
That's it.
I'm just going to bring this up a little bit. I mean, this house has been given. The Lord has given us two visions to work under this house. One vision is a vision about this church being a hub. And like an international airport is a hub that people will come and people will go. And God specifically told me, he says, don't worry about it. When they come or when they leave, don't you even worry about it, because I am bringing them in and I'm sending them out. And I know that sometimes he's brought them in and then he's kicked them out. But that's a good thing too. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. But that's one vision. Tommy brought me a wheel because that vision has spokes and everything. And I probably need to tell folks more about it. I've had a few people tell me, you need to talk about the vision, because a lot of people don't understand that this house is under a vision. The other vision is if you will, it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. And this is the vision that the Lord, I was seeking God. I mean, my whole heart was going to seek God. How many of you just sought him? He didn't care if you ate. You didn't eat anything. And it wasn't that you say, I'm just going to fast. It was, I mean, it's a God, I want to hear you. So I wasn't eating. I was praying the whole time. And it's a long story about that. But the vision he brought to me was, I was working at the mine, and I had thought he had given me a vision a week prior to that, but he had just given me a word to keep my mouth shut because I was begging like a little baby. Can you say amen to that? I mean, know it's okay to go after God and just say, God, your word says this, God. Come on, God. You know, God, that you know I'm crying out for it, Lord, or whatever. It's okay. But he gave me something, kind of shut me up. But then when I relaxed, then he gave me a vision that I was awake. It wasn't a dream. It was an actual vision. And in the vision, there was a place in Scripture, and it's this Scripture right here. Every year, I would read the Bible because I was at the time I was reading the Bible all the way through. Once a year, reading the Bible, though, front to the back. And then when I saw the December's coming up and I'm way back, oh, man, I'm plowing through, man, trying to get to it because I want to start again in January. I will tell you, it's nice to do that. I love to do it, but sometimes the time was keeping me. But this Scripture, every time I'd read past it, it would poof. I'd get a whoa. And I'd look at it and I'd go, what is that? And I didn't know what God was saying to me. And it had to be 10 years, 5 years. I don't know how long it was before I was up the mine calling out on God. And he'd given me something. The next week I was happy, just enjoying singing songs, man, working, doing my job at the mine. I was changing the oil on a piece of equipment. And this room that I was in, it had piping, and there was no sheetrock on the walls. It was just a shed, and it's got piping, water pipes, air pipes, electrical conduit, and hydraulic lines and everything coming into this building for this machine, and they're all plugged into it. And I've got the machine off. I'm changing the oil. I'm putting a filter on it. And just when I finished putting the filter on, I looked up, and the whole wall looked like somebody had gone in and sheetrocked it. It was all white. And I go, oh, what did that happen? And what is that? And then all of a sudden, he started showing me. God began to paint a picture on this wall. And here's the Scripture. It says this. are you in Isaiah? I need Isaiah 7, verse 3 and 4. And here's a Scripture. I mean, well, let me just tell you the picture I saw. I saw this lake, and in this lake, there was water there, but it was just sitting there. And it was at the top of the wall, and then there was this tube that came down like a half pipe. You guys have seen, like the old farmers used to use half pipes to drain their irrigation lines in. It was a half pipe coming down, and then there was a man standing at the back of the half pipe, at the end of the half pipe. It's coming down. He's standing at this end here. And while I'm watching, he's standing in front of this field, and there's a road, one road going down in between the field. And as he's standing there, look, all of a sudden he's water comes up out of that lake, and it runs down this tube, this half pipe, and it hits him right smack in the back. And I can see the water. It hits him, and it's rolling around inside of him. And all of a sudden, he opens his mouth, and boosh, this water just starts flowing on top of these fields. They got nothing in them that I could tell. But apparently, there was something in them, because in this vision, the things started growing. And before I knew it, man, as the water kept falling up, they were growing, they were growing, they were growing. And it looked like a cornfield. And I go, Lord, what are you showing me? I had no idea. But all of a sudden, it's like the Lord reminded me of that Scripture. And this is the Scripture. It says, and the Lord said to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shur Jashub, thy son. I mean, that part had nothing to do with me, okay? But here's where it is. He says, go forth now and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool of the highway of the fuller's field and say, and that's all he said. I was to stand at the end of the conduit. You see, this lake is the waters of life. Can you say amen to that? I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. But once he showed it to me, boom, it exploded within me. Woof. And I started weeping like, man, like, ooh, God. I couldn't believe what God was showing me. And then he said these words, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those are the words. So not only did he give me a vision of my calling, he also gave me a word of my calling. He told them, this is what he given. See, I had sought and sought and sought. And see, folks, God's not trying to hold anything from us. He just needs our whole heart in it. Can you say amen? Well, I'm going to talk about the fuller's field. It says that, you know, the waters came through the man and he spoke and he opened his mouth and he began with his mouth began watering this field. And those things started to grow. That word fuller, how many know what the word fuller is? Okay, well, how many remember the fuller brush man? Does anybody know what a fuller brush man was? Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, sometimes you got to explain these things because you did see that word fuller in there, right? Well, this is what it means in the Hebrew. It's kabos. It means trample as with washing with feet. This is how people would clean. They would rub their clothes on the mat. Sometimes they just get up like they're squashing grapes was what they said, and they'd clean their clothes that way. Can you say amen? That's somebody that is doing what they call fuller. That's what that fuller brush man means. It's cleaning. It's a cleaner. See, and it's called the fuller field. No, and in my vision, there was only one street. How many know there's only one way? There's only one. His name is Jesus. There was only one. The waters of life come into the man speaking and bringing growth into the fuller's field. Well, that fuller's field, it's a sports park. I don't know if you know. It's a place where there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. But it's a place for cleaning. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we need cleaning. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We need it. We have thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. We have words we shouldn't be saying. We need cleaning. Can you say amen to that? And the Holy Spirit has been sent so that this is the picture of this vision. The waters of life falling. The waters of life are the Holy Ghost. In order to clean and grow. Growth. Ah, how many like growth? This is the vision this house is under. I believe that I used to think, well, it's just pastor. It's just my vision. No, it's God's vision for the house. If you're in this house, this vision is part of you. If this is something that this vision is something that God has given this house to distribute, not to say, well, this is mine. This is me. Go get your own. This is a vision that you don't have a vision. Use this one. Till he gives you one, use this one. Can you say amen? Without a vision, people perish. We don't get those words because, you know, we don't really think about it, but God wants us to have a vision. You need a vision. For you personally, what is it that he's saying to you personally? What's he telling you? Do you have that? Because I'll tell you, when you got it, you know it. You'll be up here telling people about it. I was telling you about that vision. I was asking God for a vision, and he gave me a scripture. The Bible, the scripture was, I kept saying to him, without a vision, people perish. God, I need to know. I'm supposed to be a youth pastor. I don't know. I don't know what my vision is. So if I don't have a vision, that means I'm blind. And so the blind leading the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Lord, I had all these things I was telling the Lord. I was giving him all these words. They're his words, not my words. They're his words. And he finally told me, he said, read the rest of the chapter. And I said, okay. So I read the rest of the chapter, and it says, the scripture says, without a vision, people perish. But whoso keeps the law, happy is he. And I looked, I'm thinking, the law? I'm in grace. But when I said that, I realized Jesus kept the law. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
We can't keep the law, but Jesus kept the law. And man, all these scriptures about the Lord began to, oh, yeah. So I went and I told my pastor, God gave me a vision, Pastor. Oh, yeah, what's that? It's Jesus. He looked at me, oh, okay, all right. I kind of walked away thinking, well, that's not, yeah, okay. It probably thinks it's weird. After I thought about it, I thought it was weird. I said, yeah, well, you should already have that vision. But a week later, I go back into his office. I said, God. I said, Pastor, God gave me a vision. He looks at me and goes, another one? I go, yeah. And I shared this with him. And he looked at me and he goes, okay, okay. And I walked out and I said, Lord, he didn't get it. God, he didn't get it. He should have got it. He's a man of God. And the Lord said to me, you didn't get it before I gave it to you. Why should he get it? I said, oh, yeah, okay. I get it. Folks, we're designed for vision. We're designed for future looking. We're not designed for fortune telling. We're not designed to be prognosticators. Can you say amen to that? But we are designed by God. He says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things to come. Is that right? So Psalm chapter 51, this is David speaking. Hey, before you do that, Liz, I'm sorry, can you give us Mark 9:3? This is a scripture, this is another scripture. It says, when he was transformed, they call it the Mount of Transformation, Transfiguration, transformed. This is what it says. His raiment became shining and exceeding white as snow. As no fuller, the word, the people that wash on earth can white them. In other words, man, this was a bright white that, man, I don't care what cleaners you go to, you take your stuff to, they cannot get it that bright clean. Can you say amen to that? That's that word fuller. I just want to throw that in there. But here's Psalm 51. This is David speaking. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Folks, there are things that Jesus, don't get me wrong here. I'm not telling you, we all need things we're working on. But see, God has given you the blood of Christ to wash you and keep you clean. Can you say amen to that? He has taken all your sins and washed them away. And they are in the past, if you will. Can you say amen to that? They're gone. But we still have these little things, right? That is in the growth area of your life that the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to you to clear these things up to you so that you no longer operate in them. Because you have been given access to the throne of God. How many of you say amen to that? So Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about the tabernacle. I never didn't really get a chance to get to this part. God was so detailed in the tabernacle when he told them how to build it, how big, how high. He gave them every detail. And he told Moses, make sure you build it the way I showed you. Make sure you do it that way. Because God is very detailed. Can you say amen? So when it comes to you, he's very detailed in your life about how he's designed you and how he wants you clean. He has cleaned you and washed all those things away so that you can show up to the throne of God. And when you're at the throne, can I just say this to you? Because it says, remember where it says that the man came to offer his gift, and there he remembered that he had ought about some that he had to forgive somebody. You see, coming to the throne, God will show you things because you're now in glory. You are at the throne of God. When you're in your prayer, in your closet, you're at the throne of God, and God now is showing you something that you can work on. Can you say amen to that? How many of you get that? Sometimes when I'm walking and God, I'm praying and I'm speaking in tongues and God's giving me, speaking to me things about things, and he'll tell me something about you, about me. Tommy said, I go, Do I do that, God? Yeah, you do. I said, okay. Folks, we all got stuff. And this is what David says, create in me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Amen? The next one is Psalm 119, verse 9 says this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Is that right? How do you clean your way? How can you clean your way? Can I tell you, you can't. You can't clean yourself. There ain't no way. There's no way you can clean yourself. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Those things that are contrary to God that are within you, those little habits that man, you think they're just, that God doesn't, God winks at. He doesn't just, he's, when you see it and you know you're doing it, he's talking to you. He's showing you something. It's important that we, with our mouths, say, God, wash me from this, man. Get this out of me, Lord. I don't want to operate in this thing. Matthew chapter 23, this 25 through 26. Is that 20? Is that right? 25 through, I guess. Anyway, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Listen to this. This is good. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you may clean the outside of the cup, the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. See, I like showers. I love showers. I like taking baths. But those baths and those showers will not clean the inside of the cup. Can you say amen to that? It does not. It cannot. There's only one thing that will clean. Amen? Yeah, come on, man. Thou blind Pharisee, first clean that which is within the cup and platter and the outside, that the outside of them may be clean also. Do you know, folks, how many of you know that the glory of God dwells in you, and the cleaner you are, the more. I mean, let me just say this to you. Some of you might be saying, well, hey, I don't got nothing. Yeah? Is that right? Some of you might be saying, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I ain't got nothing. Well, that's good. And that's a good deal. Can you say amen? Because Paul said it, my conscience is clear concerning God and all men. My conscience is clear. See, that's what we want. We want a clear conscience. But when something pops up, hey, your conscience isn't clear. Get it cleared out. Say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Speak to him about those things. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you don't have anything right now you can think of, praise God. Amen? Praise God. But when you do see something, don't let it go. Don't let it just pass through. Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. Can you say amen? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 says this. I like this. Then, this is in Ezekiel. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you want that clean water?
Woo!
I mean, it's a shower. It's a refreshing. Anytime God speaks to you, it should be a refreshing. Can you say amen to that? One of the hardest times was when my brother passed away, and I was mad at God, angry at God, because we had done everything that his word says to do. And when I heard him speak to me, Henry, do you trust me? That was a refreshing. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of loss, his word came in and it gave me a refreshing, and I was able to stand. Oh, God, I just love hearing from you. Thank you for speaking to my heart. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Do you remember, if you guys, in the Old Testament, when they would do the sacrifice, you remember that? The Bible says that Moses would take the blood and sprinkle it upon the priests. He'd sprinkle it. It was the blood. But see, we are in a new covenant. And the sprinkling is the waters of life. It is the water that washes you. Is that right? Come on, man. He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. All your filthiness. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, filthiness. Look at the other neighbor that they think they're in the clear. Tell them all their filthiness. All your filthiness. Says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. I will get it out. Amen? Folks, sometimes we have things in there we don't even realize we're placing before God. And God says, hey, man, don't put that out there, because if you do that, that's an idol. And anything that comes before me, you're making it an idol. Is that okay? Don't put that out there. God would be saying, don't put that out there. No, I said, don't put it out there. I said, don't put it out there. Folks, can I tell you, I mean, there's something, I got to say this to you, because I can sense the Lord. God has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you say amen to that? If we ignore him, he will get our attention. Could that be what California is about? Could that be that God was saying, hey, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe it was some power lines that banged together up there. Maybe that was a big problem. That was a big problem. But the problem was what? The wind. The wind, folks. The wind. Who holds the wind in his hand? Jesus. Can God get attention? Yeah. Can he get attention of a nation? Oh, you bet he can. See, a lot of times I don't serve a God like that. Well, I'll tell you the word. He's done it before. He's done it to other nations. What makes you think that we can snub our nose at God and keep going? God will get our attention. Some folks might not like that, but that's okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Now, ladies, don't get excited about this one. Husbands, love your wives. Amen? Come on. Hey, all you wives, say, come on, somebody. Yeah. Husbands, love your wives. And it says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, gave himself. Denied himself and gave himself. Can you say amen to that? Now we're talking something, husbands. Is that right? Husbands, love your wives. Forget about yourself. Love your wives. Amen. It says, Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Can you see why God's trying to wash us up? He's saying we're in the midst of it. How many of you guys say amen to that? You're in the midst of getting cleaned up. You're in a shower right now. You don't even know it. You're in a bathtub right now. There's some scrubbing going on maybe in your heart, because God is saying something. Yeah, I'm tired of it. You need to get clean. Let me help you. Let my waters flow through you. Woo, hallelujah. That he might present it to himself. A what kind of church? A glorious church. Not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, at my age, I'm getting spots and I'm getting wrinkles. And I say, yeah, come on, God, let's get rid of all of that stuff, man. The water, if you will stand. Could you stand? Hallelujah. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 3. Now, everybody say now.
Now.
Now, you are clean. Is that right?
Yes.
Through what? The word that I've spoken to you. You are clean. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You are perfect in Christ. Can you say amen to that? You have authority that's under authority. You use that authority as long as it's under authority. Can you say amen to that? He has given you everything. What do you need? What do you need today? Woo, come on, man. Come on, man. He's given it all to you. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, thank you for all that you're doing, Father. Yes, Lord. Wash us. Make us clean, Lord. Make us, Father, in the earth. Let us be, Father. Oh. the aroma of the kingdom. The kingdom that's within us, Father, cleanse us and allow that aroma to flow up in every situation, Lord. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, Father God, Lord, be glorified in our lives, God. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. We give you all the praise and all the glory, God, because you deserve all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming to church this morning.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Hope God gave you something. Amen. If anything, take a bath.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.